becomes tongue-tied, you know,
when you think of things to say.
And I'm always groping for words. I don't know if it's lack of education or just forgetfulness, you know. But I'm constantly groping for the right word to use.
Actually, you're extremely articulate. You just blow me away. You're very articulate.
Really?
But I think words are important.
I do too. If I had my way, I'd continue to educate myself, because I would love to be able to like to learn. You know, it's important to me.
Exciting.
It is. It just gives you a new lease on life.
Really,
you know, I'd like to. My husband speaks Russian fluently. And I am getting to the point where I can speak it pretty well. But I don't try it out on him too awfully often, because Moscow Russian and Kodiak style, you know, very... Really?
Oh, isn't it? Yeah, it's terrible. I was not exaggerating. I thought it was terrible. But, you know... You were talking. Whereabouts is Woody Island exactly? I mean, that's
it's almost directly across. Woody Island is east of here, huh? No, east, north, southeast.
Northerly.
And that's where you grew up.
Yes, I was born on the island there.
Well,
the Kodiak Baptist Mission was established on Woody Island, and my mother and my father and my stepfather, who later married my mother, you know, after my mother left my father, all of us children were born on Woody Island. And then after I married Kelly, we continued to live there, you know. We moved off of there and then moved back. It's a wonderful place to live. It was just mostly the Kodiak Baptist Mission and the Navy station over there that kept the place. And then, of course, it has a great deal of history, because the AC Company and the Northern Commercial Company, I think, the AC Company was the one that shipped ice out. Yes, I think this was probably during the 1800s. You know, they employed a lot of natives, of people, you know. Mm-hmm. And in fact, I read I read how they fed them. They would make fish soup. You know, of course, at that time there was a lot of fish in the ocean, a lot of codfish. They'd feed them lunch and they'd make fish soup for them, you know, and have lots of bread. But there are some of the stanchions still standing in the lake, if they are. I haven't been over there in the past few years. But some of the stanchions that they used ice to move the ice down from the upper lake were still standing just a few years ago.
So how many families were there then? Just your family?
Well, let's see. No, there was, at the time of when my birth, there was... I should say about 8 or 9, no, maybe 10 families living over there. Yes, a mixture of Aleut Russian. And Woody Island actually was the larger of the two settlements, you know. There were many more people on Woody Island than there were here in Kodiak. In fact, the people that eventually settled in Kodiak were the nucleus, you know, of the Woody Island people. They were from Woody Island and then moved over here. Many of the non-native fathers went to work for the AC Company and then moved over here and took jobs here. So it was quite a large settlement, really.
Now, what is the AC Company again?
Alaska Commercial. Alaska
Commercial. Northern Commercial.
Yes, I think so. I think so.
So it was a trading place as well as a mission.
I think that I'm not really, really clear on a lot of that history. I have saved 3 articles that Gary Stevens, one of the professors out at college here, wrote on Woody Island, and a lot of things that I didn't know, you know. In fact, quite good. That's where I got the stew from. But my mother's family, my father's family, I was telling you yesterday about my mother moving from the mission, you know, where she was completely cared for, into a completely native way of living, you know, where they moved from fish camp to fish camp, you know, and they dried fish and did their salt fish and this type of thing. In fact, I have claustrophobia, and I think that probably I got it riding in by darkies, because Mama said Papa used to take us from Woody Island and go around Chiniac and all the way over into Eagle Harbor. Mm-hmm. And in this Bidarki, there'd be a mama and two children by these kayaks.
Ah, you know. Yeah, okay.
And two children and maybe a dog and a cat and a couple of hens, mm-hmm. you know. And we'd spend our summers out there and then come back home in the fall or when the fish run was over, you know. One interesting thing that I really, it still appeals to me when I think about it, is that everything was Shanksmere. You rode wherever you went, you know. The men used their Bidarkies. By the time I was growing up, there wasn't maybe one or two in existence. Mm-hmm. And so we used dories, you know. Mm-hmm. And in fact, when Kelly and I were first married, we used to row back and forth to town here and get our groceries. And when Kelly wasn't home, the children and I came, you know. And it's a nice little stretch of water, you know. But you didn't think anything of it. It was very pleasant. It was nice, you know. The weather was usually good. We never traveled when the weather was bad. But we used to, and the whole village would do this. One of our principal salmon streams out here is the Buskin River. It didn't used to be. There was a sheep ranch out there, and kind of an was that experimental, Dad?
Huh?
Was that an experimental farm,
no,
too?
I was owned by
Abbott. Oh, anyway. We would, in the fall, you know, because one of our principal sources of diet was fish, you know, mm-hmm. salmon. We would come out, we'd have a big exodus from the village, you know. The whole group of us would row over to the ranch here, and we'd camp right on the beach there, on the banks of the river, and we'd put up our poles and proceed to dry our fish, right? We'd camp right there. Mm-hmm. And I remember what a kind of a holiday mood it was, you know. I was a little tiny girl. I couldn't have been very old. In fact, one of my earliest memories is of going out there late. For some reason or other, we were delayed getting out there. And so we were out there after everyone had left, and we were drying our fish, and Papa, and it started to rain. And it rained, and it rained, and it rained, and it rained. And I remember us walking in, because Papa carried me on the top of a 5-gallon can he had strapped to his back. And we were drenched. And Mama was carrying my older sister, Nastya, you know. And they walked in from the ranch, that's where the airport is now, mm-hmm. all the way into Kodiak. And we went to Fran's house. And probably Kelly's mother, Kelly's foster mother, mm-hmm. because they were good friends of ours. But this is one of the things that we used to do. We dried as much dried fish as we could, you know, because it was one of our large staples, you know. Mm-hmm. And I look back on that and it intrigues me. It was a wonderful thing to do. In fact, I have a picture of some of the family mm-hmm. out there. And mm-hmm. in fact, this picture of my mother there, the one in the middle, was taken right out of the middle of that, of the picture of the Woody Island people out in out in the ranch doing things.
What a wonderful way to grow up, and it's still very much the native lifestyle.
Very definitely, you know, and this is the thing that I found marvelous about my mother, you know. I had a great deal of admiration for her, but as I went on and began to realize what she actually did, it was really tremendous, because from a protected, sheltered life, she mm-hmm. went into another form of, mm-hmm. you know, another culture. completely, and did well, learned to speak the language. She had spoken, she had spoken the language down in the Western dialect, you know, I think it's, what is it, Inupiat. And then she came here and, of course, spoke English all these years until she was 18 or 19 years old, and then moved into another culture and learned to speak that language.
And what language is that? When
you well, that was Aleut, you know, the Aleut language. And learned to do all the things that a person needed to do to for survival, like she could clean a seal like nobody's business, and she could clean fish, and she did... She did many tremendous things. You know, she was made our lives comfortable. You know, I remember seeing her singeing ducks and things like that, or cleaning fish, or just anything that was important to see that we ate well. You know, I remember.
How many children were there?
There was nine of us.
Nine
of us.
Where were you on the scale?
I was the second, I was the next eldest.
Oh, wow.
So I'm, my older sister is has passed on, but I and one sister and two brothers have survived, you know, yet. Oh, yeah. And
what you must have seen from that time to this time, it's extraordinary. It's like living through many lifetimes.
Yeah, yeah. We had really living on the island was tremendous. Really, it was like I say. We were versed in. We had a tremendous religious upbringing because we Papa was the starosta, which is it's a steward, you know, a caretaker. He took care of the church. He took care of the books, the candles, things like that.
And this was Russian Orthodox.
Yes, and so. We had, it behooved us to really behave, you know, we I remember Papa looking over at me and he'd go like this, you know, because I was pretty active. But there's another part of my life that I really loved. I loved it, you know, the things that the religious, all of our fun times and good times were centered around the church, you know, because we had Russian Christmas, which is removed from the American version, you know, by 2 weeks, I think. Our Russian Christmas is on the 7th of January,
oh, yeah.
By the old Julian calendar. And Russian Easter, it's forecast, you know, not the same way, but it's by the calendar and the phases of the moon, apparently. I'm not sure on that, but all of our fun times were holiday times, you know, and then traditional things like Easter for the dead or the day that I don't know what did they have Kutya for, Daddy? Do you remember? What was
40th
it?
40th day that you passed on.
Huh?
40th day.
After Easter. Days. After Easter.
Well,
yeah, I know. The kutya.
Yeah.
Well, it's a rice dish. I don't know. This is completely traditional.
Mm-hmm.
And Mama would cook up this pot of rice, and they didn't put salt in it for some reason or other, you know. And we would take this to church, you know, and to have it blessed. And then we'd eat of this. I remember that she sweetened it. But I'm probably getting this all screwed up, you know, but really this, and once in a while I'll dig out my books and study this thing, but almost immediately forget about this. But these are things that stay with me. I like the tradition. I like the traditional things, and I would like to have passed on some of these things to my children. Unfortunately, for me, the children have kind of gone their own way, you know. They
children do.
and it's sad because I like, I guess you could say I was religious, but I have a lot of strength, my own strength, you know, that I that I rely on. And I don't need to go to church all the time, you know. But I like the things that surround us, you know, about the religious. Yes, well, they were. Up until they were about, as long as I had control of them. as long as I had control of them, we fasted during Lent, and the children had their communion, you know, these mm-hmm. types of things. But then pretty soon, as they were growing older, they just gradually broke away, you know, and so now there's a kind of a trend for the younger, the grandchildren to move back into the sphere of things.
Does it?
Well, I should push this because Ellen, one of our son's daughters, is really interested in going back to our church and having her daughter baptized and things like that. And I think it's a good thing, you know. Mm-hmm. She wants to go and take, you know, to do the educated thing, you know, to take instructions in our church. And but I remember that we had so much fun. Papa used to, he was a starosta, and to him fell the task of decorating the church, and we would decorate it for Easter, and we made piles of paper flowers and things like that, but it was always so beautiful, you know, just lovely. And we would go on Russian Easter, we would go to church at midnight, you know, Mama would have let us sleep, you know, as long as we could sleep, mm-hmm. we were so excited, and I remember her, we wore barrettes in our hair, these ribbons and things like that, and she'd have this braid thing so tight that it pulled my eyes up, but then I didn't care, you know, I wore my best dress, and we had an Easter egg in our pocket, and for some poor children occasionally would drop their eggs, but we were lucky. We never did. Perfume on our handkerchiefs, and we were dressed to the nines. We were just so happy. And I can remember those things. You know, really tremendous. Really, really. I would want these for my children, my grandchildren. I want them to experience these things, you know. They're too many times things are removed from that, you know. And those are the thrilling, exciting things of my life that I like to remember, you know.
And the closest that brought you all together.
Yes.
That's probably really what the essence of it is, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. I think so. It's it was wonderful. And then, of course, it's an entirely different and opposite. Mama, like I say, loved the Baptists, you know, she just doted on them, you know, these austere, stern, old, what is the word, women, not old, from Cape Cod and those places,
oh,
you know. That.
Yeah.
Oh, yes, Mama cooked with a Cape Cod influence, you know, one of their cooks of... One of their primary cooks was from Cape Cod, so Mama made the best clam chowder and baked beans and things like that you can ever imagine. In fact, she made wonderful baked beans. But she learned to cook in that style, you know. But
you have the best of both for us, really.
Yeah, I was going to use the word martinet because that's what this one particular matron reminded me of. I remember, you know, One of the things that we used to enjoy so much, and after I got to be around 13 or 14, we had one of the celebrations that came was from our church tradition was masquerading. We had a week of masquerading. This was after Christmas, and it was in our books. It's interpreted as the time that Herod was searching for the baby Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
And the masquerading is traditional, you know, because they did everything to foil his attempts to find the baby Jesus, you know, masquerading. And they masquerade, we masquerade for a week, you know. Mm-hmm. We would go to houses, to our friends' places, and we used to have so much fun, you know. Mm-hmm. And here in Kodiak, it was a little bit more sophisticated than the island. Mm-hmm. And the island, we used to, when I was a child, one person would devote their living room and maybe one bedroom to having the dances there, and we would have a phonograph, or somebody would. Oftentimes, we'd feel very sophisticated. I was just I must have been around 7 or 8 years old. I remember these incidents, and they would have a man that played a harmonica and played a guitar. He was a lame person, you know. Mm-hmm. I think they called him Wanchuk in Russian. And what was his name? Walkoff, I think his last name was. But he would play this harmonica and guitar and play for us to dance, you know. And we all danced. Mm-hmm. The little children didn't sit. Somebody danced with them, you know. Mm-hmm. And I remember waltzing around with a man who was a very sweet person called Angun, you know, which means old man. But he wasn't old then.
Was that Russian word?
No, it's Aleut. Aleut. I use both mm-hmm. types. And we would dance, you know, and everybody danced, and everybody had a good time, you know. The children were put in the bedroom to sleep, mm-hmm. and Mama and Papa took both of us. Of course, at the time, that these memories, there was just I and my older sister. I'm 6 years older than my the one next mm-hmm. to me. Mm-hmm. And she was 6 years older than I. So you see, we were kind of removed from the rest of the family. Mm-hmm. And this went on for a week until they finally celebrated the great Russian New Year's, you know, where they would take the old year and throw him in the water, you know. They'd rough him up and throw him in the water. This is funny. This is absolutely funny. They would rough him up, and I remember, you know, of course, oftentimes they would have, some of the men would have too much to drink, and Papa was very good at that. Mm-hmm. But he would be the old year, and they'd have him in rags and tags and everything, you know, and they'd take him, the old tradition was taking them down and throw them in the water, you know, and to wash the evil spirits off mm-hmm. of them. And then then the new year would come parading in, and normally you think of the new year as being dressed in a diaper and having a big swatch of guilt and things on them, but the natives, in their naivety, would dress them up as Uncle Sam. Somebody Uncle Sam, an Uncle Sam uniform. And honestly, I mean, when I look back on it, it's hilarious. It's hilarious. It really, that was, but those were such fun times. You know, these are the memories that I treasure. I really do, you know. And I would like to, you know, I would have liked for my children to share them. Then we, this was on the island. Uh-huh. And we oftentimes would just, a band of us young people, and there was only 7 or 8 because, the mission were never allowed to fraternize with us except on under school conditions or things like that.
Absolutely.
Oh. Well, you know, I remember, Jean, and these things still irritate me. I was going to say something much more extreme, but they still irritate me when I remember that having one of my girlfriends, she was cross at me about something, and they had just taken our neighbor's children away from them because they had been drinking and neglecting them, and put them in the mission. And of course, the next day this girl came to school, and she was all dressed up in beautiful clothing, you know, a midi blouse and things like that. Things that maybe we couldn't afford. My mother sewed, but we couldn't afford a lot of things. The missionary boxes really were rich in worldly things. You know, they'd send them up from the South 48. And this girl started to walk over to me, and somebody said, "Don't talk to her. She's a native," you know. But this girl was much more native than I was, you know. She was probably full-blooded, you know, and we are a mixture. But then that's where they drew the line like that, you know. We were natives, and they were not, you know. Don't,
yeah. God.
Yeah, really, really, these are the types of things. But but like I say, Mama just loved them. But then again, too, Mama didn't have the association with some of them that were disagreeable, you know, mm-hmm. and that didn't hesitate to say mean things, you know, about our culture, our religion, and another thing. I'm looking back. I see how they patronized Mr. Pavlov, who was a wonderful man. He was so kind, and he was so good,
and he was a
second priest over there who had a big family and had a kind of an estate. You know, he had 3 sons and 4 daughters. And they were built, their homes were built kind of on a level, the upper level down. Mm-hmm. There was 3 sons that built their homes there, and his daughters married men from the radio station, you know. And he eventually passed on. He didn't leave too many heirs, and never got tight their land either. It seems strange, because he was such a learned person, educated, extremely well educated, wrote letters.
You mean you have to apply the title to your own land, basically? I mean, it was your...
Well, you think, knowing as much as he did, that he would have done
just
this.
Because
now the land has reverted, some of it has reverted to the borough, and believe me, the borough, you try and jerk it loose from them, you know. Well, Kelly and I had the same problem, because we didn't ever feel that we needed to do this. But you see, this is where the Baptists came in. When they came in, they got title to all of their, you know, the Baptist mission land, some of the choice land on Woody Island. The workers got choice pieces of land, you know, but because they knew the way to do that, they knew the system, and we didn't, you know, never. In fact, we never did get title to our property over there. We just didn't, because it was, we didn't know a whole lot about that things. You know, when I look back and realize how naive we were, but we never had to.
How would you be anything else?
Yeah, we never had to. But like I was telling you, we used to go to our church at 9 o'clock in the morning on Sunday, and then we'd, at 10 o'clock, we'd go up to Sunday school. And then we'd go to church in the Baptist church. And of course, Mama always went with us, you know. And then oftentimes we'd stop and have lunch at the mission. But she was their fair-haired girl when one of the superintendents at the mission wanted to throw a banquet or something. He used to come down to our house and do the cooking down there, you know, because Mama was his pet, you know. She was a real pet. And I remember being very small, you know, and remembering him cooking in our kitchen and things like that.
How did this mix with some of the Aleut traditions? Did you have any of those? I mean, was she trying to carry some of that on as well? Like you had the Baptist traditions and the Russian Orthodox traditions, did you have any sort of Aleut traditions?
Oh, of course. Well, Papa always, you know, with his friends, you know, they would have their nights that they would play. It's a sort of a man's, this is definitely a man's thing, where they play a game called Kada, you know. And I don't know a whole lot about it, because like anything else, when the men don't want you to know about something, you don't know about it. And this is something that we really...
Well, I'm going to walk down here.
Well, see you, dear. You see, the Russian,
by then the Russians had had so much influence. The culture was interspersed. You know, it was mixed.
Okay, I wasn't realizing.
Because by then, all of our people were Russian
door.
Orthodox. No, she's fine.
Oh, the door.
Oh yes, please.
Okay.
Oh, I meant to tell you, Kelly's and my family were good friends, you know.
Uh-huh.
And we used to, in Russian, Woody Island is called Lesnoy, you know.
Oh, now what's that mean?
Well, I think it means Liska. I'm not sure. I'll have to look it up. I think it means close, or the snow, or does it mean woody? Anyway, I'll look it up. I have my dictionaries here. I've forgotten. But they used to come over and visit us, and we used to come over and visit them. You know, when we came to town, we would stay with their family, you know. And I used to hate Kelly. I used to absolutely detest him. My sister liked him, but I didn't, you know. He was a real smartass, if I may use that word. He was just terrible. Anyway. When I was 13 years old, I went to work as a maid here for the Kraft family, who were the prominent family, one of the... There was, at that time, there were only 5 non-native families in Kodiak, you know. The rest were all native, you know, a mixture of Russian and a mixture of Swedish and Russian and native, but they were all native, you know. You know, because we classify ourselves as all native. No matter what you're mixed with, you're still native.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so there was only about 4 or 5 families that were non-native. School teachers, the postmaster, the judge, maybe the doctor. When we had a doctor, we didn't always. And the store owners. But the store owners were also native. You know, the Kraft family was a mixture.
Oh, but okay, now I got, yeah.
And I went to work as a maid there. Well, mm-hmm. and here comes masquerading time, you know. And of course, we just dream at, and this and the method in Kodiak was to hire a big hall, Blinn's Hall, you know. And we had wonderful music for to dance to, and they'd hire the hall for a week, you know. And because we charged everybody a dollar, well, by the time you paid your dollar, it paid the orchestra, and it also paid, you know, for the use of the hall, which was $20, I think, something like that. So this one night, we decided to go as dance hall girls. I must have been 15 or 16, and we wore these crepe paper costumes, you know, cleaned up around here, black silk stockings with heels, you know. And these little paper hats and things, and I don't know what happened. Kelly was at the dance, and we fell in love.
Gosh, and you're only 15.
Yeah, 15 and a half. And I've been in love with him ever since.
Oh, wonderful.
I think it's wonderful. It's some kind of wonderful, really.
Yeah, it is.
And we've never, yeah, and of course we didn't get married right away. I would move away, he would move away, but we'd always gravitate back together again, you know. And I got married, and then my husband and I were divorced. And eventually, Kelly and I got back together again, and we married, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But I've never been sorry that, I was always so grateful that I married one of my own kind, you know.
Oh, yeah,
there was no cultural differences. We liked the same thing. Oh, it does. And we like the same kinds that we both like our native food. That's right. And we understand the native way of life. And I'm not saying that we had a hard time, but a native was a second class citizen.
Oh, absolutely.
You know.
It's really the same thing else, because that was what,
yeah. A native was a second class citizen. But one of the things that I did, and I'm glad that I did, is I always taught my children, you know, that you are a native, but just because you're a native doesn't mean you have to be a second-class citizen. You be proud, and you don't hesitate to say that you are native, you know, because this is what you are.
Mm-hmm.
you know. And do you know that I remember on one occasion my children came home. I have three that are close together. Ellen, who is 53, I think, 52 or 53, 52. And Kelly, who is 50 and going on 51. And Judy. And they were close in the grades, in the intermediate grades. And she said, Ellen came home and said, the teacher asked all who were native to stand up. And she said, there was only Tilla and Buster and I. But Tilla and Buster and I stood up in the whole class of about 40 or 50 kids. But this is something, and you know something, I think that's one of the reasons why the children stand up. They do. Our kids are super.
I think so, because of it.
They're exceptional.
Yeah.
It sounds like I'm bragging, but
Well, why not? True.
I mean, it's true. You know, they've always professed to their nativeness, you know, and it's been good for them, you know. I don't know how Kelly and I got so lucky. They've turned out very well. We have an older son, who's Richard, is 56, and he doesn't do things like the other children. He thinks it's above him to push himself like they do. He's a very, very intelligent person, you know, extremely kind of a snob about it, you know, mm-hmm. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but I, because that's what I think, not what he thinks. But I think that he thinks that he's a little bit super because he is a very highly intelligent person.
But if you don't do anything with it, it doesn't really matter.
No. Because it's too easy for him. He's taken jobs, and they're just a snap to him, and he loses interest in them. You know. Well, that's one of our family's faults is that they'll take a job. And immediately that they learn how to do it, they lose interest because it's not challenging enough. You know, see, we have that tremendous spirit of competition, mm-hmm. and to be able to really hang in there, it has to be very competitive, and you have to be constantly striving and learning.
I wonder if that really has something to do with growing up and where life was, and if you were constantly striving, you didn't survive.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yes, that's true.
You see?
Yeah.
I see a real connection there. I mean, it might be just a subconscious thing, an inherent thing that you know that if you're not constantly doing something, somehow your whole life, your meaning isn't there.
Well, that's true.
So you brought your kids up on Moody Island, too? Was your mom still alive then?
Oh, yes. We were neighbors. And by then, when Kelly and I were married, my father, just shortly after Ellen was still at 2 years old, my father, my stepfather then, had a heart attack. And so, although we were neighbors, we lived this far apart,
yeah.
We still didn't, you know, I didn't allow the children to run in and out or disturb Dad in any way. However, we were very, very close, you know, Mama and I got together a lot. And then later on when Dad recovered, he would go out fishing too. So Mom and I were left on the island. This was the days when salmon fishing extended from May until August 15th, you know, always. So we spent our whole summers by ourselves. You know, the men were gone. You know, they were out on the fishing grounds and we were alone, you know. And so, which I just hated. I just hated. And it's one thing that I've always minded is having Kelly gone. But just hated it. But we survived. We survived, you know. I was from a big family, and it's hard to have the principal, the person of the family, gone. You know, Kelly and I worked hard, but it never seemed like we were working hard. You know, we had big gardens. One of the things the Russian taught the natives a lot of good things, you know, and one of the things that they taught us is to use kelp for our gardens, you know.
Fertilizer.
Yes, wow. Yes, and uh-huh. And they, all of the gardens that were picked out had a southern exposure, you know. So our garden, our family garden on Woody Island, not the one, not Kelly's and mine, but the Fadea family garden, was quite a, I should say, 2 or 3 miles away from our home. And we used to have to trek over the hills and things like that to get to. So in the morning when I was a little girl, there was always a baby in our family. In the morning, Mama would put together a lunch and get the baby ready. There might be 3 or 4 of us. And Papa would get the skiff, you know, the dory, and he would row around to where we were going, because the gardens were right next to the water, because, you know, up on the banks, because you had to have the proximity of the kelp beds. And Mama and I and Nastya and Julia probably, and the baby would trot overland, and we'd walk down to the, along the beach or up over the hills to the garden. And we would spend several days like this. We would, there was no boys in our family then. The boys are, all came after we were, I was 12 years old when my first brother was born. And we would go down there, and Mom and Papa would dig the garden, you know. Or he would dig the garden, that's right, first. And then we would go down there and we'd start the raking and setting up for the beds. And he would go out with a dory and pick the kelp, you know, and get dory loads of kelp and bring it ashore. And then this is the job that I hated. They had, we had a carrier that in Russian they call a nasilka. Mm-hmm. It's a box, literally, a big box about so wide with handles, you know, here. And a person can stand abreast and hold it like mm-hmm. this, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the person in the back can hold it, you know, and you trot along and trudge. And this garden of ours was up the hill. You'd have to climb the side of the hill, although it had a fairly good track. But that was my sister's and my job to do. We carried this darn kelp up the hill. And we had 12 big, long beds, you know. The beds were all this wide, you know, so you can imagine what we,
oh,
what we did. Well, sure. We raised enough potatoes in this garden to last us all winter, you know, a family of maybe 6 people. You know, so this is what we do. You know, we'd go ahead and we Papa would build the beds up about this high.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, interesting. You were building raised beds then.
Oh, of course. Well, yes. I have to laugh. The extension service comes in and you tell them things and they don't pay any attention to you.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, here they come out with this, and they say, the best thing to do, and they talk about the soil. Well, we know what the soil is like. I have grown beautiful things, and I did it on my own. I practiced organic gardening for years, you know, and grew huge things. I grew a zucchini that was this big.
Oh, my goodness.
You know.
Yeah.
But you see, they don't like to pay attention to you. They listen to you, but they don't. I always got seed potatoes, and I think that from the extension service, that's some nice people there, but some of the younger ones there. I have to tell you this funny story. I have to tell you this funny story.
Okay, just a second, because I want to get this out. This is beeping, and so I'm going to go over to the other side, so don't.